It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle. Once again, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, heard around the world on the iHeart radio application. All right, a busy weekend in Tiger Town. As it pertains to the spring game, several storylines on that front, potential recruiting nuggets for you coming up here on the program. We hope to get connected with Brad Owens, Director of Baseball Operations at Clemson. A tough weekend for the Tigers as conference play has been quite the struggle. But the storylines surrounding this Clemson Tiger football team continue to be about the situation at quarterback. And look, I don't think we know much more after the spring game than we did coming in. DJ Uiagalelei, the presumptive starting quarterback, finished 17 of 36 with one interception. He threw for 175 yards, no touchdowns, took five sacks. Cade Klubnik was 15 of 23 for 106 yards and a touchdown. He also took five sacks. Now, the thing about this was, and by the way, the final score was 15-7 in Clemson's spring game as White defeated Orange. I think there's a couple of things. You know, I mentioned last week that I like the way Clemson does this from having the draft and everything to sort of split the rosters. But I'm not sure after watching the spring game on Saturday that this is the best way to go about it for a couple of reasons. One, when you've got a defensive line that is as deep and as talented as Clemson's defensive line is, and you know that the work in progress is the offensive front, when you split those guys, all of a sudden you create matchup disasters for the guys on the offensive line. And there's no reason not to be, I don't know what the right word is, but not to be, it's not, you know, there's no reason not to recognize that the numbers that were put up by the defense, especially those guys on the defensive line, in a game where it's essentially just get close to the quarterback and he's down, that those guys aren't going to have huge numbers. Miles Murphy, three sacks. K.J. Henry, 3.5 sacks. You know, when you split the offensive line and it does not entail the same amount of depth and talent as the defensive front, this is the result you get. And so I started thinking over the weekend, because I don't believe you got a great view of DJ or Cade in this contest. So I started thinking over the weekend, like, what could you do if you're Dabo Swinney to make this thing better and more competitive? And so I think the best case scenario here would be as follows. You know, we are accustomed to seeing the quarterback wearing the purple jersey. But what I thought about is when you have an offensive line that definitely is going to, you know, from the depth standpoint, be a bigger issue than your defensive line, then what if, and again, my thought process on this is I want to see the best case scenarios for these quarterbacks. I want to see the best case scenarios for these offenses. And look, you are without a ton of wideouts. I mean, that's another problem, too, that you run into. You're without a ton of wide receivers. Now, it was great to see Cade Klubnik use the tight end, Jake Brenningstuhl. Brenningstuhl was targeted 9 times, 7 receptions, 58 yards in the game. Like, that's a positive. But I truly started thinking, what could you do in this situation to make it better for everybody? And Dabo Swinney made a great point. And it's not a point that you didn't know or that I didn't know coming into the ballgame. He said, look, college football is the only sport, you know, of football, or the only level of football where there's not a preseason. The NFL has preseason, high school has preseason, peewee football, little league, middle school. I mean, everybody has scrimmages and preseason games against other people. And Swinney, again, says, you know, I'd prefer that we got that opportunity to bring another team in and have a scrimmage. Because right now, when they play, it's 100% of the injuries belong to Clemson. And if you bring in another team, you cut your potential injury rate in half immediately. Now, on that front, since we don't have it, the thing I start to worry about is, how do we make a situation better for the quarterbacks? Well, what if you essentially took your starting offensive line, your offensive lines, plural form, and just use those guys on both sides of the ball? Just use them the whole game with substitutes. So instead of having half an offensive line on one side and half an offensive line on the other side, you just went with an offensive line rotation that stayed on the field the whole game. Now, again, I get it. Those guys would be tired, but you're not asking these guys in the way this game is set up to lead 18 play drives. And if you went with the full complement of rotation of players, I think you could keep them fresh enough to make it where if the defensive lines were split, the offensive line would be more competitive. Thus, giving your quarterbacks a little bit more time, thus eliminating what would certainly be deemed incredibly difficult matchups like, I don't know, freshman Blake Miller, 4-star out of Strongsville, Ohio, going heads up against Miles Murphy. Or a walk-on like Nathan Brooks facing off against Xavier Thomas, who decided to return for another season in Tigertown and is looking like he's ready to rock and roll in his final year at Clemson. Like, all across the board, that game becomes very difficult to discern what these quarterbacks are potentially going to look like because the defensive lines are so dominant and they only have to get in the proximity of the quarterback. The other thing, if you just said, Swanee, that's a ridiculous idea. You're a moron. You could say that about me. That's fine. I'm not saying you're a moron. I'm saying I am. If that's the thing you say, Swanee, you're a moron. The other thing I thought of is take the mindset of what they do in the NFL. And again, nobody that I know of enjoys watching the Pro Bowl, but don't allow any blitzes. Because there were a couple of scenarios where I know Cade Klubnik was dropping back at one point and Clemson brought a safety blitz and there was nobody to pick him up and he just, you know, runs by him and he's down. And that takes away from opportunities for the offense. And so, look, if you're going to try to come in here today, text line or phone line, and give me, oh, Swanee, what I saw from Cade Klubnik, he's got to be the guy, or Swanee, I tell you, man, DJ looks like he's ready to take over. Don't. Because the way it was set up, you can't really tell much about these two guys. A couple of things I liked. DJ looks a lot better. He looks more fit. He looks faster. There were several throws that DJ made that may have been a little bit off target still. But the slimmed down version of DJ Uiagalelei would appear to me to be advantageous for Clemson in 2022. We'll hear from Dabo Swinney coming up in just a little bit, some of his thoughts after Clemson's spring game. As for Cade Klubnik, you know, Swinney has said, hey, this kid is built along the same stature as Deshaun Watson was when Watson came in. And you can see that. There was, if you go back and watch the tape of even Watson's first game at Clemson where he got some opportunities against the Georgia Bulldogs in Athens, gangly, long arms, skinny arms, those are the same things that you see from Cade Klubnik. And it is amazing to me, I actually kind of started thinking about this, looking at some photos of Cade over the weekend and watching him play, how quickly a quarterback can go from having that look and feel to you didn't think that about Deshaun Watson when he's a little bit older, a little bit more mature, and has put on a few more LBs, you know, a couple more pounds here and there, and all of a sudden, you don't look rail thin. I thought Cade Klubnik showcased that he was willing, as I mentioned earlier, to throw the ball down the middle of the field, something that DJ still doesn't seem very comfortable with. I think that, again, with the way this game is set up, you didn't really present opportunities for your quarterbacks to throw the deep ball like you would like. And so, consequently, my takeaways from the spring game were probably as minimal as any in recent memory, save for this. Clemson's defense is going to be legit again. And look, when you combine those two defensive fronts, oh my gracious. From Peyton Page, from DeMonte Capehart, Tyler Davis, Xavier Thomas, Miles Murphy, KJ Harris, I mean, Trey Williams. Guys, it is truly, truly a level of depth that we haven't seen in a while. And the comparisons to the 2018 roster, the Power Rangers, is going to continue. But Swinney made a note during the broadcast. He said, you know, I really think that this group compares more favorably to the 2014 team, a team that had more, you know, certainly a lot of talent, but depth of talent. And the rotation that this group could potentially have up front this season, how they could continue to bring just boatloads of pressure and talent at teams for four straight quarters. Goodness gracious. And not to mention what that'll do for the guys behind them. Most notably, the linebackers. Vontae Bentley nearly had a pick six. Love seeing him play instinctually out there. Everybody knows already what you're going to be getting from Trenton Simpson. And then Barrett Carter flying all over the field. The versatility of that front seven, really, for Clemson is going to be something else to watch. I mean, they got a lot of guys, and a lot of players are going to get some opportunities, especially in that front seven, I think. Now, the back end, one of the, I would say, bright spots for me, one of the things that stood out, Toriano Pride. Pride, let me say this about him as a freshman, wearing that number 23, which you got accustomed to seeing Andrew Booth in. Buddy, there didn't seem to be much of a difference in the physical look of Pride in Booth's jersey. I mean, if you would ask me, if you would have said, hey, how's Andrew Booth look out there for Clemson this spring, I would have said, fellas, physically, he looks ready for the next level. And yet, that was a freshman, a true freshman, and a kid who looks destined to be a player on the field for Clemson this year. And give credit to Mike Reed and that entire group there in the secondary, because the young guys that they brought in and you know, one of the things they had to do because of injuries and because of the potential of maybe having to even use him at cornerback some, was cross-training Andrew Mukuba at cornerback. Now, you've got some other names. Nate Wiggins looks like he might be one of the next lockdown-style corners for Clemson. The defense was clearly dominant, but, man, there were just so many moments in that ball game, so many little things here and there that just made you say, okay, well, we've got the defense under the new tutelage of Wes Goodwin. It doesn't look like there's going to be much of a drop-off at all. So, just thinking ahead here, if you challenged me, said Swanee, so what does that mean for Clemson's season in 2022? I feel like I could safely say this. I think it is safe to say that the defense, when it is at its full, you know, capacity, is good enough to keep you in every single game. Which means Clemson absolutely has a chance to get back into the college football playoff. Quarterback play is clutch and key. But again, you take Clemson's schedule, multiply that by a stout, and I do mean a stout defense, and even your biggest quote-unquote hurdles are going to be winnable ball games. The one caveat to that for Clemson might be this. And again, we are a long way off from the college football playoff rankings. And given last year's results, this is a different season as it pertains to any willingness to go ahead and pre-write the tickets to the college football playoff, right? Like, I'm not going to project that just yet. But I think, competitively speaking, what we saw on Saturday with a split defensive unit would tend to bode well versus Clemson's schedule, that the Tigers will be in every single game, because I don't know that there's an offense that Clemson will face in 2022 that will, at this point, be able to generate the points to run away from Clemson. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think it is safe to say here on April the 11th, 2022, that Clemson will be in every game this season simply because of their defense. They may not win them all, but they should be competitive in every game. And the only other caveat, I mentioned this and I didn't quite get to it a second ago, that I would throw in there additionally would be, if there is a run of other teams out there that have great seasons, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, Southern Cal, whoever, then a team that doesn't look graceful or whatever the terminology would be offensively might get left out by contemporaries that look better on that side of the field. Defense wins championships, and defense will keep Clemson, based off of what we saw Saturday, in every game. I wish it was done a little bit differently to give the offense a better opportunity, especially given the number of players that were out. But nonetheless, the big takeaway, quarterback situation, definitely not decided yet. In my estimation, still DJ's to lose. Defense in Clemson 2022, wow. It's going to be a good-looking defense, especially up front. 803-450-0086. With a quick break, we'll come back. We'll hear from Dabo Swinney, some of his comments following Clemson's spring game. Plus, coming up in hour number two, we'll be joined by William Quackenbush and our good buddy, director of baseball operations in Tigertown, Brad Owens. With a quick break, we'll hear from Dabo Swinney next. It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swann with you on a Monday afternoon. Again, Clemson's spring game comes to a conclusion over the weekend. We talked a good deal about that in the opening segment. Now you have to wait for the kickoff of Clemson and Georgia Tech to open the 2022 season. The white team defeats Orange 15-7. Dabo Swinney's post-scrimmage comments here. Swinney says the Tigers got done what he thought they needed to get done during Saturday's contest.
I think we got done what we needed to get done. Some of the guys that we needed to kind of see and really just get them some experience. Really appreciate our fans creating a good environment for us. That's always important. We don't get this opportunity very often. You know, we don't get a chance to create a preseason atmosphere or anything like that. So to be able to come out here and expose some of these kids, you know, the best thing is to be exposed and gain experience. And so we had some guys get that today. It was tough conditions, but a lot of fun. A lot of fun to see them, you know, handle their business and finish spring in a good way. We got better this spring. We got a lot to do. First and foremost, getting a lot of people healthy. Obviously didn't have a lot of guys out there playing today, but you know, we made it work. We just put 11 out there so we could, again, get everybody evaluated and could play. But very incomplete team today. But when we get back going in August, you know, we've got a chance to be a really good football team if we'll do what we need to do this summer. And so proud of the guys, proud of the work. We had one guy get banged up today in Dakari, but nothing serious. So he'll be sore for a few days, but he should be ready to roll when we get back training this summer. So thankful for that. Adam Randall had good surgery, and he was out here today. But appreciate our fans. A bunch of former players back today. That was fun. You knew the Orange team was going to – the kiss of death when Christian picked them. So you just knew that was just karma and inevitable. Obviously disappointed with the drop punt snaps. So, again – you know, to put some pressure on these guys. We've got some work to do there to grow up and get better there. And we jumped offside a couple times, had some penalties, and had some guys playing maybe out of position a little bit. But again, the guys that we think are going to be dominant players, they've been what we need all spring. And then the guys that we need to really mature and grow and get better, we were able to do that this spring. We've got a bunch of guys that aren't where they need to be, and we've got to close that gap between now and August. That's what, as we call the transformation phase, that's what that's all about. We'll start that on Monday, and look forward to getting back together, watching them grind through the summer, getting all these guys back fully healthy, and when we put it together, I think we've got a chance to be a really another good football team around here.
Dabo Swinney there talking about this Clemson Tiger team. He was also asked about DJ Uiagalelei's improvement this spring.
Oh, yeah. I rest real easy on that position. I love the guys that we have there. Billy Wiles and Hunter Helms as well. I mean, I love all four of those guys. And, you know, we've got Trent Pearman coming in to join the group. Hunter Johnson will be starting here summer one. He'll be out there as well. So this is as good a room as we've had at quarterback in a long time. Once we get everybody here, you know, in 2018, we won it all, and Hunter Renfro was our third team quarterback. You know, we had Trevor and Chase Bryce, redshirt freshman, and Hunter Renfro, and the fourth team was Will Spires. So we're going to have a lot of functional guys in that room that, you know, I know will be ready if we need them. But I'm proud of those guys, proud of DJ. He definitely, you know, again, we're missing a lot of pieces, but he had a good spring and did what he needed to do to give himself some momentum going into summer from a totality standpoint. And same thing with Cade. I mean, man, a lot to learn this spring and to be able to come out here and really get a good foundation. And same thing to play in an environment where you can, you know, not hyperventilate. First time you get in this environment, you can have a little bit of something to draw on. It's a good room, have good leadership, good people, just good people. There's just not a better group of young men out there than what we got in that quarterback.
Dabo Swinney there talking about this Clemson Tiger quarterback room and DJ Uiagalelei. He was also asked about the transition for the coaches this offseason or this spring to, you know, take on their roles. And he said, you know, that's been a lot of fun to watch as well.
It's been fun and definitely a lot of that because we do have some, unfortunately, some new people coming in, but also some guys just taking different roles. And so that's been fun to see them. You know, it's one of those things that until you go do it, there's always nuances that you know, you don't really know until you start doing it. But man, it's been a lot of fun. This staff has a really good chemistry already. They like each other. It's fun to go sit in both rooms and see the camaraderie. They're all on the same page. We've got a talented staff, and you know, thankful that you know, we were able to get the work done for the bowl game. I thought that was good for us, just like for your players to create this, to have a bowl game, and to have such, you know, tough game. Was a lot of confidence for those guys coming out, going into spring, and then I just like the interaction that I've seen. There's a lot of trust and respect with these players and the staff, and it's going to be fun. They've all, you know, just settled in nicely, and you know, whatever roles they're in. You know, we got a lot of different people support staff-wise too, so we'll have a lot more of that this summer as we really kind of dive and take a deep dive into our program and, you know, everything about it as we start over.
Dabo Swinney, again, give us some recap of Clemson's spring game, the coaching staff, the transition, et cetera. 803-450-0086. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll hit a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear a little bit more from Coach Swinney, but I'll tell you another one of the I mentioned Toriano Pride earlier. I'll give you another transition that I think is going to be huge. All caps for Clemson. All capital letters on that huge. Quite frankly, I think it's going to be one of the biggest changes many of you have seen since you've been going to Death Valley to watch your Clemson Tigers play. And it'll be on display this fall. So I'll give you an update on what I think that is. 803-450-0086. Give us your spring game thoughts here on the program. If we don't get them in today, we'll squeeze them in tomorrow. You can bet that. Stay with us. The show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk on Twitter. At Clemson Sports, join the nearly 25,000 people that already follow us. That is a ridiculous number. You know, I got to get my Instagram game up, apparently. I don't do much Instagram, only about 1,500 followers there. 25,000 is nearly the number, though, over on Twitter. Come follow us at Clemson Sports. So I said before the break, I was going to tell you about something that I think is phenomenal. And quite frankly, it is the biggest addition to Death Valley, I would say, in my lifetime, at least, in this era. I know the West Zone, big deal, you know, closing that in. I mean, maybe I should walk back that it's the biggest in my life. But all I can tell you is that Clemson's Jumbotron, by comparison to its contemporaries at South Carolina, at Auburn, at other schools around the country, was minuscule. I mean, it was like having a 32-inch TV at this point in your home. And maybe some of you, that's what you have in your home. And maybe you like it. Maybe the 32 is perfect. But when you can get 75 and 85-inch TVs for $400 and $500, like, why not? You know, why not upgrade? Well, Clemson's new Jumbotron, while not in place, to see the structure that's going to hold it up. And again, I think the new lighting systems, et cetera, that they're putting in are going to be a huge, you know, change in the atmosphere. But the Jumbotron still means something. It has a ton of value for the fans' experience, for the recruits' experience, for the players' experience. The Jumbotron is a big deal. And Clemson's new expanded Jumbotron, once it gets in there, holy cow. Now, what I would say, and I hope people are listening at Clemson University, they apparently listened about my take on the Paul not being having lines through it, because the spring game Paul did not have lines through it. I tweeted at the grounds crew, you know, about a year ago, that I thought it would be a good idea, and boom, there it is. So hopefully that'll stay for the season. If you want to see the tweet, again, go over to Twitter, at Clemson Sports. Scroll down in our tweet line, and you'll probably find it, our tweet history. Nonetheless, the other thing I will say to whoever is over the organization of what goes up on the backside of the Jumbotron, with three national championships, you have to put three in a row. You can't try to stagger them like they had it before. It just didn't look good around the paw. The paw seems off center. It's not great. Not a good look. You can go three consecutively underneath the paw if you want, but you can't do what they did before, which was kind of put them around the paw. Did not look great. That's just my, you know, that's just one of those HGTV updates from your boy Swanee. Dabo Swinney was talking about DJ Uiagalelei earlier. He was asked to further expound on how freshman Cade Klubnik played. Here's Coach Swinney following Clemson's scrimmage on Saturday.
He did great. I thought he did really good. He took too many sacks. You know, he's got purple jersey syndrome. I told him I'm gonna let him loose a couple times in here. He'll get a little more sense of urgency when Miles Murphy smashes him a couple times. And there was a couple guys he just didn't see because we whiffed on a guy or whatever. But he took a sack in the red zone on a safety blitz. You know, the unblocked guy's his guy. And so those are things he's just going to grow. I mean, he's one of the most self-driven kids you're ever going to be around. So he just keeps getting better and he'll just keep learning. But that's probably the biggest thing. He's so fast, and he's used to just being able to just run away from everybody. But you don't run away from Miles Murphy. You don't run away from Xavier Thomas and people like that. So that's an adjustment for him. But, I mean, he made some great plays. He made some good timing throws, placed the ball well down here in the red zone. It was a great little throw to Hamp, and did a really good job. Did a really good job.
Dabo Swinney also, during the telecast, mentioned the story. He talked about the purple jersey syndrome. When Clemson opened at Winston-Salem in the first game of the COVID-19 season, Trevor Lawrence kept rolling, took a sack for like a 20-yard loss. And Swinney said when he came to the sidelines, he was like, "Coach, I forgot. I forgot I wasn't wearing a purple jersey. I forgot they could hit me." So... a bit of an adjustment for Trevor Lawrence on that front. Finally, Dabo Swinney was asked. I opened the segment of the show, opened the show today, talking about that Clemson defense. Here's Dabo Swinney talking about what he saw from his takeaways from the defense this spring and how good those guys can be.
They can be really good. They can be as good as they want to be. They'll have the type of depth that gives you a little bit of room for error. But I think we've got a chance to be a special group in the defensive line. I think we're going to be fast and athletic at linebacker. And I think we're going to finally have some great experience in the secondary. It's just a matter of getting everybody back. And as you saw today, you didn't get to see Jaden Lucas, but I did. And we hit on him. He's a home run. And then you saw Toriano Pride. You saw Koval. You saw, Nate, who was a true freshman last year. So I really like the guy. Sheridan had a great spring, and we shut him down, this last part. We got to get him, 100%. But he got most of the spring in, which is good. Malcolm Green is progressing well to get back healthy. Fred Davis has been able to he's only had – 5 practices all spring, but it was good for him to be able to get back out there as well. So it's going to be a good group of corners. Miles Oliver will join the group this summer. But that safety group is a very experienced, savvy group. So I think all three levels will have experience and talent and depth. And it's not always the case that you have that. But it's going to start with those guys up front. I think we got 7 guys that will get drafted this time next year. So it'll start right there. And if those guys handle their business and those young guys behind them, you didn't see Brzee out here today. You didn't see Trey Williams out here today. But if those young guys will handle their business, it's going to be a deep group that can lead the way for us. But they're only as good as the guys around them too. But I think all three levels, we're going to have guys that can get it done.
So there you go, Dabo Swinney using those same words I used, the depth of talent. You know, it's going to be tremendous on the defensive side of the ball. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. Again, be a part of the show anytime, any place, anywhere. And we'll hit a quick break. We'll come back with more on a Monday afternoon on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Back at it on a Monday, the show that shakes the Southland. We heard from Dabo Swinney earlier following Clemson's spring game. Swinney kept saying to KJ Henry during the game, don't beg. Begging's not becoming of you, as he was trying to ask for sacks, etc. during the game. Again, with the way Clemson sets it up with the quarterbacks in the purple jerseys, just proximity is enough to get a sack. Well, here's KJ Henry's comments following Clemson's spring game on Saturday in Death Valley.
I love it. You know, we definitely, you know, we got to look at them close. We got to be close to them. We got to earn it. But it's just fun. You know, definitely, you know, coming through off a season like that and going through a spring like this, it's, you know, the main priority is keeping these guys healthy, keeping them safe. And I totally understand that we're all one team at the end of the day. You know, these colors divide us, but, you know, there's one thing I learned last year. It's only us, you know what I'm saying? So it was good to see some great work today. And, you know, just like I said, keeping healthy.
KJ Henry was also asked whether or not he expected the defense to dominate the way they did.
I did, you know, just because that's what I expect of us, you know, every time we take the field. But at the same time, we'd be remiss to, you know, notice, like, some great offensive linemen we had and stuff like that were out today. So, you know, people on social media probably won't even pay attention to stuff like that. But we know what it is. We know what we got. And we know what we can bring, you know, both sides of the ball. But definitely expected the defense to show out today, for sure.
Henry was also asked about what a performance like this, even with split squads, could do for the defense as they head into the offseason.
I think it just builds confidence for everybody. You know, on a day like today where, you know, we rep a lot of people and then we get into the second half, a lot of the older guys are sitting out for the rest of the game. It's all about building depth right now on both sides of the ball, honestly, getting to build it on the offense as well. That's big for us, big for the whole team. I think, you know, Coach Sweeney hit it on in the locker room. Like, the talent is, you know, above and beyond on this team this year, and we really believe that. The depth's got to match it, and, you know, we got to get guys back healthy. So I think it was a great day. At the end of the day, it was just an open scrimmage. You know, it wasn't much bigger than that. But, you know, we were just trying to get some great work in today. And I think, you know, for the depth that we have, we definitely accomplished that today.
KJ Henry again following Clemson's spring game. He was also asked about the shift to Wes Goodwin and just sort of working through and navigating that transition.
Yeah, in the coaching world, you know, this is rare to even have, you know, these coaches and this coaching staff so tight-knit for so long. And just being here, you know, that's not our norm. But at the same time, you know, it was easy because, you know, they're Clemson guys. At the end of the day, the calls might change up a little bit, but the philosophy is still the same. The love is still the same. You know, just the genuine connections are all there. So in that regards, it was easy. Obviously, like anything else, you lose someone, family member got to go. You know what I'm saying? It's going to feel weird, you know. But as far as, you know, any fight against it or anything like that, whatnot, you know, it was really smooth. And just glad to have those guys on our side. They're really helping us for sure.
KJ Henry was also asked about the goals for this elite defensive line.
Yeah, well, we haven't really gotten there yet. I think we'll learn a lot about ourselves going through summer training. I definitely think it's a crucial part for this D-line. You know, we got potential, but, you know, it don't mean nothing until we really put it out there. So really the next step for us is just having a great summer and, you know, really developing, like I said, getting us healthy, getting us stronger, getting us faster, and really honing in on the craft, you know, to be a great D-line this year. You know, we got to earn it, and we're going to try to earn it each day in the summer.
KJ Henry was also asked to give some insight into some of those offensive linemen that you like going up against during spring camp.
You know, like I said, building depth, so definitely got some younger guys. I think both freshmen coming in, Blake and Sadler, they look good this spring. You know, really physical guys, you know, aren't afraid of getting their nose in there, even with, you know, some of the vets. And really just building the depth, like I said, guys who have been here for a little while, Mitchell Mays, Tuck. You know, some of those guys have been there 2 and 3 years. You know, you definitely tell they took a step in the right direction. And like I said, some of the older guys who weren't out today, you can definitely tell. And we can tell from a defensive line perspective, you know, as far as the work we've been getting with them all spring, that they're going to be, you know, astronomically, you know, a help for us when it comes to the season. So we'll be good. We'll be good. You know, we only got up from last year. And, you know, we got a lot of guys growing up in that room. So I'm excited for them.
So there you go, Clemson's KJ Henry recapping the spring game. And as I said out of the gate, tough to take a whole lot away from it. I'll tell you what we will do, though. We'll talk with William Quackenbush. I know he was traveling with the baseball team this weekend. Also in hour number two, We'll be joined by Brad Owens, Director of Baseball Operations at Clemson. So we'll talk a lot about the Clemson baseball team in hour two. Nonetheless, again, as this spring game took place, I mean, there's a lot of positives. Toriano Pride, as I mentioned, really a standout for me just from the physicality standpoint, looks the part. I think that, you know, there's still going to be some mistakes for a young guy. There's no doubt about that. But again, it is a long time, nearly 5 months before kickoff of the college football season. Lots of more opportunities to improve. And this is really when this, you know, transition falls onto the shoulders of this Clemson Tiger team and the individual players being accountable to one another, whether that's DJ Uiagalelei and wide receivers, whether that is Cade Klubnik and wideouts. I mean, this is a time where those individuals have to buckle their chin straps on their own accord and really focus on, you know, making themselves better for the team. And it becomes a selfless portion of the calendar year because the requirements to be there can't be induced by the coaching staff. This has to be player motivated and self motivated. And I hope that a 10-3 season, I hope that disappointing offensive performances, like I hope that all of those things are motivating factors to drive these young men to be better in 2022. And look, I think the one standout about DJ Uiagalelei that everybody has to admit shows his commitment is his willingness to transition and transform his body to be a more lean and fit player and somebody that's a little more mobile. And he really did look a lot better in that, you know, in that regard. And I would love to have been able to see him in a regular game where you are avoiding sacks and try to make plays instead of when you avoid a sack, you're essentially down. I would have loved to have seen what DJ could have done or what he might have looked like live action. But you don't get to that until you take on Georgia Tech in the fall. 803-450-0086. We had a quick break. We'll bounce back with William Quackenbush next.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set. Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Is hour number two. That's drive time right here on the show that shakes the Southland Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you. William Quackenbush set to join the program. Brad Owens, Director of Baseball Operations up at Clemson, will also join us here in hour number two. 803-450-0086. That's how you can join us. 803-450-0086. That is a text line. That is a phone line. And you can be a part of the program anytime, any place, anywhere via the podcast editions that are available. I recommend the Overcast app for iPhone. I hear Podcast Addict for Android devices, but I can't say. I was trying to help my father-in-law with his Android telephone over the weekend. I may as well have been trying to help him land the lunar module. It's that weird for me. William Quackenbush, now I don't know if he can land a lunar module or not, but he joins us here. And the text bubbles when I text you are blue, so Quack, I know you're an iPhone guy, but can you navigate the Android device?
I would not know an Android if it bit me in the leg, Swanee. I have no idea. My dad had one. I know I got friends that have Androids. And I know that we're not supposed to be beholden and we're not supposed to just lean in entirely to the will of our overlords at Apple. But I got to say, having, you know, laptop, iPad, iPhone, having it all streamlined is just a better way to live, Swanee. I I'd love to do something else, but I can't quit it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a continuity across the platforms, and I agree is part of the reason that I'm in the Apple operating system as well. William Quackenbush on Twitter at QualTalk joins us every week. We've got Director of Baseball Operations Brad Owens coming up here on the program in just a little bit. So, Qualk, let's begin there. Another tough weekend for this Clemson Tiger baseball team, dropping all three games in South Bend, Indiana. But, man, the weather conditions, as much as anything, in Clemson's road matchups at South Bend and at Pittsburgh have been atrocious for college baseball.
Yeah, I would agree. And look, it is like that for both teams, and it is uncomfortable for anybody. I mean, my dad grew up in Indianapolis, and so he played a lot of baseball in snow. Just because you live in it all the time doesn't mean it's any more fun to play. But, I will say it is truly remarkable that Clemson so far has played two road conference series, and the two series they've played are all north of the Mason-Dixon line. That's weird because you've got three programs in the ACC that have baseball that are north of the Mason-Dixon line. It's just statistically improbable that you would have your first two road series of the year be those two places. So I'm talking Pittsburgh, of course, and Notre Dame. Now, with that aside, I can also tell you that the reason Clemson got swept this weekend was not the weather. The reason Clemson got swept this weekend is because Notre Dame was a better baseball team in every perceivable way. And you can really boil it down to a couple of things. Notre Dame had 10 hits with runners in scoring position this weekend. Even, Friday and Saturday. Saturday, they hit four home runs and kind of dusted Clemson for a while, but they used the long ball to do it. They didn't have a ton of clutch hitting. Even Friday, they had two hits with runners in scoring position early in the game, and they didn't have another one until, or I guess they had one with runners in scoring position early in the game. And then they had one later when the game was basically over. But, Swanee, I got to tell you, it was Clemson's inability to match that. That was the issue. Of course, they had six hits with runners in scoring position Sunday, and they blew Clemson out. Clemson scored five runs this weekend. Three of them were on solo homers. One was on a pass ball. This was just not a team that was finding ways to score runs. Even in the win against Georgia, Clemson was 0-4 with runners in scoring position. They spent an entire week 0-21 with runners in scoring position. You can't win like that. I don't know what the totals were yesterday. I think they were perhaps a little similar to the first two games. I meant to go back and look a little bit earlier. But I know in the first two games of the series, it was very similar to the Pitt series, to be honest with you, where Clemson was minus 21 in strikeouts over the two games. Tigers were minus 11. They had struck out 21 times at the plate, which isn't horrible, but Notre Dame only struck out 10 times. And you cannot win a lot of baseball games unless your batting average on balls in play is insanely good or the other team is booting the ball around significantly. When the other team is putting five or six balls in play more than you in every game, you're not going to win. And that's sort of the weakness of the analytics argument that essentially says that the difference between a strikeout and a ground out or some other out is negligible. When you're putting the ball in play, good things happen. Look, Notre Dame's the number one fielding team in the country. They committed three errors this weekend. When you put the ball in play, good things can happen, and not just because you find a hole. It still makes multiple other players a lot of times, especially if you're hitting ground balls, it makes multiple other players make plays. And Clemson did not make Notre Dame work as hard as they could have or should have to score runs. And then on the other hand, Clemson just could not stop Notre Dame from getting critical hits. They had two bad break pitcher injuries on batted balls in back-to-back innings of yesterday's game. That was just adding injury to insult a little bit there. Hopefully, Jeffrey Gilbert and Jackson Lindley are okay. But really, it came back down to the inability to get clutch hits and to keep Notre Dame from clutch hitting.
So, I think one thing that's important, and you mentioned it, Notre Dame just the better baseball club, not just the Atlantic Coast Conference and sort of the profile of the league as a whole right now. And again, Clemson at 2-9 in league play, I think a lot of fans will say that's inexcusable given who Clemson's been for years and years. But this is a much different league than it once was.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you added Notre Dame, they weren't a baseball powerhouse, but they've invested a lot in a new facility. They've got a really good coaching staff there now. Link Jarrett's done an amazing job. You could argue that two of the three teams that the ACC brought in the last time with Louisville and Pittsburgh and Notre Dame, who have baseball, two of them are annual College World Series contenders. with Louisville and Notre Dame right now. And of course, Notre Dame lost in Starkville, Mississippi last year. So I would say at least they are super regional contenders. And many of these schools, like Notre Dame, has obviously done a good job of it. Louisville, I think, is a little bit better of a developmental program. They recruit okay, but they do a lot of their best work getting kids from the state of Kentucky in and maturing them over time. They've really done a good job of building a pipeline for the in-state talent. Clemson has brought in the in-state talent, but they haven't developed them to the level that they've needed to. And certainly, you know, when you've got Duke and Wake Forest and Virginia and Notre Dame in your league, Boston College as well, even though that program appears to be spinning its wheels for one reason or another, and they've invested in baseball as well, but that's probably the weakest program in the league right now. You've got teams that are schools that are private, and they can fund more scholarships than Clemson can because of more creative ways you can do that. You can, you know, there are some levers that you can pull administratively to help close that gap a little bit. And I don't think Clemson's done a great job, particularly given some of the some of the tradition of the program, of maximizing what it does have. So I want to say that before I say what I'm about to say. You're not going to be able to close that gap in resources in terms of what the student athletes can have from a scholarship and an academic sustenance standpoint from with Notre Dame, Virginia, Duke, Wake Forest, Boston College. If those schools want to spend it, they can through endowments and things like that. That Clemson just is not going to be able to have access to at nearly the amounts. And so, yeah, you're right. Clemson's in a bit of a tough spot, but it does have history. It has a strong fan base. I think some of that is a reason why you're not getting out of regionals. I think some of that is a reason why you might lose an out-of-state recruiting battle or two. I do think Clemson getting to the NCAA tournament, hosting regionals, I think even with some of the hands tied behind your back type stuff going on, and even with the strength of the league, that's something that Clemson should still be able to do regardless. And that's where I think people are a little bit troubled, and rightfully so, is they're looking at the trajectory of this program going, okay, I know we have issues, but are the issues that we do have this bad? Is it to this degree? And I'm really not sure that it is at this point.
Clemson will take on USC Upstate tomorrow at 6 o'clock and then a three-game series in Winston-Salem. William Quackenbush, he was actually on the call this weekend in South Bend, Indiana for the Tigers and the Fighting Irish, a three-game sweep for Notre Dame. All right, Quack, so you were away, but the spring game still took place in Clemson, which is hard to believe Dabo would hold such an event without, you know, you in town. Nonetheless, what did we learn from what we got a chance to see on Saturday when you had an opportunity to go back and watch some of that?
Well, not much, I'll say. I think we know that Clemson, from a defensive standpoint, is going to be great. I was a little bit concerned about maybe the level of competition making it look too easy for the defense, but upon further review, I don't think there are any issues of that. I mean, I think the defense was lights out regardless of the level of competition across the way. So that's number one. The defensive line is by far the most loaded position group. I think there's much more athleticism at the linebacker spots, which, it reminds you a little bit more of the Georgia defense last year. I think that's a fair comparison with the level of athletes and the depth of athletes that you're going to be able to get in that position group. And then I think beyond that, I understand that there are folks, I want to ward against this, Swanee. There are folks who think because DJ, you can't say anything good about DJ because it means he was good or he did a good job and he wasn't good, so we can't say he was better. I'm comfortable saying that DJ was better in several ways. I thought his footwork was a little bit cleaner. I thought his pocket presence was a little better. And I thought because he's trimmed down, I thought his ability to escape, make plays, moving his feet, I thought that was a lot better. He was quicker to the spot. With that being said, I don't think he was good enough. I don't think he made enough strides in those areas or was consistent enough. That also doesn't mean that the backup did those things. And I don't think there's any question that there's still work to be done with Cade Klubnik. I'm not sure he's as far along as maybe – Deshaun Watson was, although we didn't get to see Deshaun as a freshman in the spring game, because of an injury.
Right.
I think he still needs to get bigger and stronger and spend some time. I think he'll be much more ready August 1st than he was, on Saturday. I don't think there's any question. I think his leadership ability, I think it's very Deshaun-esque, maybe Trevor Lawrence-esque, but he's well behind where Trevor was. And again, I think he's maybe a little behind where Deshaun was. I just think neither one of those quarterbacks was going to win you a game on Saturday. I just thought against any team of consequence. And so I see people trying to pigeonhole this. I see people trying to call it 2018. I don't think so. Kelly Bryant had a grip on the locker room at that point. Trevor Lawrence had to actually take it from him. I'm not sure if DJU's hold on the locker room or on the quarterback job is even as strong as Kelly Bryant's was. And so, I think both quarterbacks have a lot of work to do. I'm not going to jump into, well, DJ wasn't very good, and so you got to go with the other guy, because we did that last year, and I think Dabo Swinney had some comments to ESPN a few days ago where he said, we now have a legitimate competition, meaning we didn't last year. That's what I argued all year long. Just because DJ can't cut it doesn't mean that somebody who can cut it exists. And so to me, DJ is the best guy to win right now, but it may not be too long before we're singing a different tune.
Talking about the body change for DJ, he looked more like a quarterback, right? Like what we were accustomed to seeing. And I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong with that, but that definitely, and I mentioned this earlier, that speaks to his commitment, right? Like if there are people out there saying, DJ was this or that because he was caught up in Bojangles and Dr. Pepper ads, blah, blah, blah. You got to at least give this kid credit for being willing to make this transformation.
Yeah, I would agree. Look, I'm totally with people who are frustrated by the DJ experience. They were frustrated last year, and they're ready to try something else. I totally, completely understand that. I think we got to give this guy a full deck of cards to show us what he's about, right? Because it was impressive that he took some time to go and deal with a quarterback guru in the offseason and try to clean up some stuff. It was impressive that he changed his body composition, that he dedicated himself in terms of his diet and in terms of his regimen and off-the-field stuff. He seems a little more engaged as a leader, although still not natural like a Klubnik or, you know, Deshaun or Trevor or somebody like that. It's not going to be his forte ever. But he seems a little bit more engaged in that regard. You're right. I think we do have to give him some credit for that while still acknowledging that he's still got a ways to go to get Clemson to the point where he can rely on him to win a game like that this season. And so that, again, that's the frustrating part. That's the difficult part of trying to, you know, navigate this in a nuanced manner. But I think we can give DJ some praise for what he's done without going overboard with it. And I don't think the fact that we say some nice things about DJ means that people are overlooking some of the issues he still has to overcome. I think putting yourself in one camp or the other is missing the point, especially now when Clemson doesn't have to play a game for another 5 months.
Out of Bounds with Quawk and Kelly is the show, 105.5 The Roar in the Upstate. I was listening today, Quawk. I didn't get to hear the whole show. So this may be something you haven't thought about at all, and so you're going to have to fly off the cuff here, but I like the way Clemson does the spring game, except for this season with the defensive line being as dominant as it is, and when you split the offensive line, it's a lot of trouble. I suggested earlier that maybe what Clemson should do is just do the offensive line in purple jerseys and let those guys play on both sides of the ball and have a full smorgasbord you can rotate in if guys get tired. I mean, how can you make that spring game a better opportunity for DJ and Cade to showcase what they can do? I know the wide receivers are out, etc., but for crying out loud, man, I mean, it's difficult. I also said maybe don't blitz. Maybe don't allow blitzes. What would you say?
Well, I think both of those are good suggestions. The one that I came up with was maybe have the first team offense and the second team defense on one side and the first team defense and the second team offense on one side. That way you've got twos going against twos and ones going against ones. Now, true. I also know that that's not making it maybe from a quarterback standpoint, right? You're trying to give competitive reps, a true competition to Cade and to DJ. So you mix it up a little bit so they have roughly the same type of receivers and roughly the same level of players that they're both working with. So I get that. But because the defensive line was so dominant, I sort of agree that perhaps letting the offensive line play both ways or, you know, perhaps limiting what the defense was allowed to do might give you a better look. Here's the thing. I was stunned at how much they blitzed with Wes Goodwin. I was like, for gosh sakes, man. Call off the dogs. You know, they're having a hard time blocking your front four. You don't need a double A-gap blitz with a safety coming behind. You don't need to do that. I know they're trying to work on stuff too, and they're trying to put wrinkles in too and install stuff too and play with their toys that they're excited about on that side of the ball. But, man, I did feel bad about, watching DJ and Cade. They weren't on their butts because they couldn't be, but they would have been had they allowed full contact there, and it wasn't anybody's fault. That's just how good that defensive front is and how athletic those linebackers are. and how good Wes Goodwin is. I really think the more I hear and the more I see them in action, the more people are going to regret some of the skepticism about Wes Goodwin. Obviously, recruits are going to have questions. That seems fine. Obviously, there might be a bit of an acclimation period in that regard, but Clemson is not losing anything from a game planning, schematic, play calling standpoint. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
William Qualkenbush. All right, Qualk, I guess final thing for you. I said it a couple of times during the show in hour one. Toriano Pride, man. If you had told me that Andrew Booth had returned, just simply from the physique standpoint, I could hardly tell a difference in the two guys on the field. And that doesn't, you know, what you look like in a uniform doesn't equate to performance on the field by any means. But my goodness, the freshmen sometimes just shock you with the way they look out there.
Well, I would agree with that. Now, I got to be honest, I was watching sort of with one eye on it while I was getting ready to call baseball in South Bend this weekend. And so I'll have to go back and really give it a full breakdown. So there probably were things that I didn't notice. But if I noticed you on defense, that meant you were making plays. You were around the ball. And to be quite honest with you, I was surprised at how much Toriano Pride was around the ball. I was surprised a little bit at how many plays Sherrod Coble made. Now, again, that came with the territory of some of the verbiage that Dabo Swinney and others
right.
have used to describe those two guys. So it's not like it came totally out of the blue, but still, you expect freshmen to maybe get exposed a little bit in a setting like that. Maybe, you know, the crowd looking at them, that you have some false steps and mistakes. Those guys conducted themselves like veterans out there. There were some veterans that wish they had the composure and the poise and the playmaking ability that some of those, a couple of those freshmen did. So, yeah. I mean, I felt like those guys on the defensive side of the ball really acquitted themselves well. And the other guys that looked good, I thought Colin Sadler and Blake Miller looked good. They just had really, really tall tasks in dealing with the guys across from them. But physically, they didn't look like they were super undersized compared to their second, third, fourth year, fifth year counterparts. And I thought that was encouraging, too, in those two areas, the way those young DBs that Dabo Swinney and others have said, they feel like they hit a home run with those guys. And then those young offensive linemen, they looked physically like they belong. I thought those were two things that really stood out on first glance.
No doubt, Qualk. I agree 100%, man. Always great catching up with you again. Catch him every day from noon until 3 on 105.5 The Roar. He's William Qualkenbush, and on Twitter, he's at Qualk Talk. Qualk, we'll talk to you next Monday, brother.
Thanks, Swanee. Always good to be with you.
There he is, William Qualkenbush, coming up around the bend. Director of Baseball Operations at Clemson, Brad Owens, joins the show. Back at it on a Monday afternoon, the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Always appreciate our buddy William Qualkenbush for joining us. And here today, a special guest in hour number two, the Director of Baseball Operations up at Clemson University, Brad Owens, joins the show. The Clemson Tigers this past weekend, again, after defeating Georgia, top 10 team, midweek, 4-3, Clemson goes on the road to Notre Dame, a top 10 team. Notre Dame ranked number 6 in one of the polls. The Tigers were defeated 4-1 on Friday, 8-1 on Saturday, then 9-3 on Sunday. The Tigers currently sit at 19-12 overall, 2-9 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. So a bit of a tough stretch here for the Tigers after that 14-0 start. Nonetheless, Brad Owens, twice I've almost called him the executive director. He's the director of baseball operations up at Clemson. Joins us, Brad, man. Hope you're doing well. Welcome in.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me again.
Look, it's weird, right? It's spring. In South Carolina, you can get all, you know, you can get winter, spring, summer, and fall essentially all in one sitting in a 24-hour period. But you guys have had a couple of road trips, one to Pittsburgh, one to Notre Dame, where the weather conditions in both just aren't what I would call ideal for college baseball.
No, I think you're spot on. I don't know if I can remember another season when I've woken up and looked out of my hotel window and seen the snow covered in ground during a season yet. So we've traveled twice, if you take the South Carolina series out of that. So we're 2-for-2 so far of sea and snow. So it's makes you think what sport you're playing, but nonetheless, just got to deal with it, right?
Yeah, three games lost this weekend to Notre Dame. The final game yesterday, 9-3. That Notre Dame team's one of the top-ranked programs in America. I think they were sixth in one poll coming into this series. And look, I think that a lot of people will look at a program like Notre Dame and probably unfairly think to themselves, that's not a great baseball program. But that's a really good team you guys saw this past weekend.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I think if anybody has any background or has seen those guys play or just knows anything about their team, I mean, they're definitely ranked number six in the country for a reason. And I definitely think they're a top 10 team in the country for that exact reason. They are an extremely well-coached team. I think Coach Jarrett has done just a fantastic job in a very short time. He's only been there, I think this might have been his third year. I know COVID affected that a little bit. But Chuck Rostano, their pitching coach, their whole staff, all those guys, they just do a great job and they play their style of baseball. I know they are extremely hard to strike out. We've just kind of been, dissecting the weekend this morning and just, ways to get better and move forward. But they play incredible defense. We played on turf all weekend, but they're not playing that kind of defense just because they're on turf. I mean, they're middle infielders just making plays, stealing hits, taking away hits, turning double plays. They do all those little things right, and they came up with some big hits. And, they're going to win a whole lot more ball games this year. They should have been in Omaha, I felt like, last year. Had a little bit of tough luck there at the end. But, they were ACC champions and went to a super regional. So just a phenomenal program and one that's, I think, here to stay.
Brad Owens, Director of Baseball Operations up at Clemson, again, off of a tough weekend. They lose all three games to Notre Dame. But prior to traveling up to South Bend, a 4-3 win over Georgia. And look, Brad, I'd love for you to kind of expound a little bit on the mindset right now of this team after the 14-0 start. Now, I guess winning 5 out of their last 17 games, going 5-12 during that stretch, 2-9 in the league. I mean, where do you see this team right now as you guys kind of continue this movement forward in through Atlantic Coast Conference play?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one. You're as a coaching staff and as a coach, you just constantly are searching for answers. You're trying to figure out ways to, get your team in a better place because, if we as a staff start to, sulk or get down, that'll immediately flow into your team. So I think you just have to continue to build them with confidence, get that confidence back, get that swagger back that we had through the first, 14 games. And we felt like there in those 14 games, we could have played or beat anybody in the country. We were just resilient. And I think that's what, you've got to find again. Yeah, baseball, can be a roller coaster sometimes. We've seen it. We've seen, Virginia last year. Heck, when we played them, they were kind of in the same wall, but they ended up winning the game on Sunday versus us here at home and taking the series, and they just went on a tear. So I think you just have to continue to, try to rebuild them up with that confidence, just show these examples of, other teams that have done this in the past and just be able to, try to build them back up to where they were, offensively, either on the mound, you have ups and downs. That's just baseball. It's a game of failure. So, some of these guys just are not, in their best or in their stride, maybe at the plate or, with some of their pitches. So I think you have to keep a positive outlook. You have to continue to try to tweak and improve on detail and attention to detail and just the little things right and just continue to do what we're here to do. And that's to get guys better, to develop them, and to just give them the resources and the information, to make them at their best. So I think that's our game plan to move forward is just to continue to, pump them full of confidence and get creative. And just try to keep it upbeat. And, again, it's that windshield mentality. You got to keep looking ahead. Everything's in the past. And just the same way we were when we were 14-0, you got to take it 1-0 that day. And that's what we're going to try to do tomorrow. And win or lose, we're going to do that again on Friday and so forth moving forward. So I think if we can stick to that plan, hopefully there's, a lot of good things still to come.
Brad Owens, Director of Baseball Operations at Clemson. Brad, I'll tell you what, man, we got about a minute till the break here. I'm going to put Brad on hold. We'll come back, talk a little bit more with him about what's forthcoming this week with the series against Wake Forest this weekend. And it is a big weekend for the Clemson Tiger baseball team in conference play. Right now at 2-9, sitting at the bottom of the Atlantic Division, actually 2-9, the worst record in the Atlantic Coast Conference. and I think a bit of a surprise for some people. Again, you go on the road, you don't have to win all three games, especially when you're playing tough competition like Notre Dame, but you'd like to steal one, and certainly any home series, you'd like to win two out of three. Ideally, you'd like to sweep wherever you go, but that just hadn't been the case yet for this Clemson Tiger team. They'll try to get back right against the Wake Forest Demon Deacons coming up on Friday afternoon in Winston-Salem. Stay with us for more of the show that shakes the Southland. Rocking and rolling along with you on a Monday afternoon. It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Director of Baseball Operations at Clemson University, Brad Owens, with us here. The Tigers again tomorrow, 6 p.m. will take on USC Upstate, but then another weekend series on the road, this time in Winston-Salem, 7 o'clock Friday, 4:30 on Saturday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday, scheduled start times there. And Brad, to have back-to-back weekends traveling this time of the year for the team, academics, I mean, all of that kind of comes into it as well, all in the midst of this little slide you guys have been on. What's that like for the players to deal with the academic side of things and the rigors of back-to-back road weekends traveling?
Yeah, it's as tough as it is for anybody. You know, personally, you know, it's just a tough for me. I've got a 6-month-old daughter at home and a wife that, you know, everybody on staff is trying to manage as well. But, you know, I don't have the 15 hours worth of classes and, you know, 4 or 5 classes and tests to keep up with. So it just really goes to, show and test your discipline. You know, we got home, we were able to get home at a decent time last night. We were able to fly home. So, you know, you got to get your rest. And, you know, winning on the road is so important. I don't want to overlook that, because I remember Coach Leggett back in the day would always say, you ask Khalil Green, how do you get to Omaha? He said, well, you got to win on the road. That was his answer every single time of, you know, what the answer was of how to get to Omaha. He's like, well, you got to win on the road. So, but by, you know, being able to win on the road, that means you've got to, you know, take care of your housekeeping items as well. So registration opens tomorrow for next fall, which is just crazy to believe. We're already in the middle part of April, and heck, exams will be here in a few weeks. So you just got to be disciplined and stay on top of it. Get your rest. Stay on top of your schoolwork, because obviously they're here to be a student athlete first. And you know, that's what's most important, and that's what's going to take them, you know, a lot farther than baseball in life. So it's just one of those things where you have to be disciplined with your time. Get as much rest as you can. Take your books on your road. Our academic advisor yesterday, our bus actually is not getting back into Clemson until today, and we were flying home, and we packed the bus with most of our gear yesterday to send home overnight. And she's like, hey, make sure you're not forgetting your books or your laptop. So we got to make sure we're prepared in class today. So it's always something. It's a full-time job when you're trying to play 50, 60 games a year, and also take 4 or 5 classes and do well in both areas. So I'm just going to have to keep our rest, stay disciplined, make sure we, you know, manage our time well, and again, just try to succeed in the classroom and also on the field.
Brad Owens, Director of Baseball Operations up at Clemson University. Brad, man, always appreciate your time, buddy, and can't wait to catch up with you again soon, and best of luck to you guys with the midweek game tomorrow, and then, of course, the weekend set up in Winston-Salem. Are they calling for snow? Did you check Winston-Salem?
Yeah. Hey, I have to say that I might have looked ahead. I've actually been working on our Louisville trip, which is in like 3-4 weeks. So I've been looking ahead a little bit, which our staff doesn't do. But yeah, I think we actually have some nice weather. Easter coming up this weekend. So I don't have to pack my, you know, long johns and winter coat. So might be a little bit lighter in the suitcase this weekend. So I'm excited about that. But as always, you guys are the best, and I appreciate you having me.
No doubt about it, Brad. Appreciate you, man. Brad Owens, Director of Baseball Operations at Clemson. Also a Barnwell guy, former Warhorse there. 803-450-0086. So some insight into this Clemson Tiger baseball team. And, you know, you watch this team, I don't think you can put your finger on it. I don't think you can necessarily say, hey, it's this, that, or the other. Are there moments in these ball games where they're struggling with two guys out to kind of get that third out and end an inning? Yeah. Are there games where I've thought, kind of watching, that they've been overly aggressive at the plate? Sure. How you find that happy medium, I don't exactly know. I didn't play enough baseball growing up to pontificate eloquently on how you figure that out. What I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, much like the SEC, the Atlantic Coast Conference is not a joke when it comes to college baseball. There was a time, arguably, in this league where you could count on, if you're playing Duke, you're going to win most likely three. And at worst, two. You can't count on that anymore. Pitt, the same way. You can't count on that anymore. Virginia Tech, can't count on that. Boston College, you can't even count on it with the Boston College Eagles, especially on the road in Chestnut Hill. Louisville, Notre Dame, NC State, Florida State, Miami, Virginia, North Carolina. I mean, these programs are power brokers in college baseball. I can't even remember if I mentioned NC State, quite frankly. These are teams that have been at or near the top of college baseball one time or another, literally over the past decade. And so, for Monty Lee and this Clemson Tiger team, there's one thing I think you can say with absolute certainty. It is not the same league that Bill Wilhelm coached against. It is not the same league that Jack Leggett coached against for a large portion of his tenure. I mean, there was a time where the Atlantic Coast Conference was essentially, and it really felt like this in baseball, it was Clemson and Florida State. And now you've added in these other programs, many of which are very good baseball programs. Now, does that mean you should accept mediocrity as a Clemson Tiger baseball fan? Should you accept being 2-9 in the league? No, absolutely not. I get that. But the thing you have to grant is discretion and recognition that that is a top 10 Notre Dame team, possibly a top 5, and a team that was number 1 in the country at one point this season. That's a great baseball club that you just got beat by. And what you can't do if you're the players, and this is the hard part, and this is the part of the job for Monty Lee and his staff and Brad Owens and everybody, you know, is that they got to keep these kids up. Because just because you lost a 3-game series to Notre Dame doesn't make you a bad baseball club. Now, the thing that bothers a lot of people, they and what I hear on social media from many of you, is they're not competitive in these games. They got to be more competitive. And I don't disagree. 4-1 on Friday, a lot closer than the final two contests, 8-1, 9-3. But I agree that you want to see a more competitive performance. And again, you don't want to, you know, listen, losing 7-6, 3 straight games might make you more competitive, but you're still 0-3. But the thing is, you don't want the team to get lost in the way they were beaten in those final two games, if that makes sense. Stay with us.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Monday afternoon, the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, Lon Swan again. The White defeat the Orange in the spring game, 15-7. Not sure what all you could take away from that. Clemson baseball gets swept over the weekend against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The women's softball team, however, swept Pitt over the weekend, and as you can imagine, this Clemson Tiger softball team, currently one of the top 20 teams in the country, continues to play very well. They are 30-10, 9-6 in the Atlantic Coast Conference, but a big weekend series win and a sweep. Here's John Rittman, head coach of the softball team, following the Tiger sweep of the Panthers.
Hey, Tiger fans. Big sweep for us up here at Pitt this weekend. Got great performance in the circle today by Brooke McCubbin and Reagan Spencer. Offensively, had great production today up and down the lineup. Cammy Pereira with a big three-run home run early to give us a cushion. Bailey Taylor stepped in this weekend and done a tremendous job. She had a home run today as well. Aaliyah Logaleo has just been swinging a hot bat. She had a clutch two-out, two RBI hit today. Just really proud of the way we're competing and playing right now, and looking forward to playing the Gamecocks on Tuesday night. Go Tigers.
So the Tigers and the Gamecocks on Tuesday, that was Clemson softball coach John Rittman following the Tigers' 11-3 victory over Pitt to sweep that series. The Gamecocks will host Clemson on Tuesday right here in the Midlands in Columbia, South Carolina. 803-450-0086. A couple of other little news items for you. I know a lot of you keeping your eyes on the transfer portal with Clemson. Well, a couple of big-name offensive linemen over at Georgia. Clay Webb, a guy, five-star that Clemson was in on. He is in the portal, according to multiple reports. Also, Amarius Sims, another five-star, former five-star recruit in the portal. Both of those guys still have plenty of eligibility remaining. Could one of those two, potentially, I would say most likely would be Clay Webb, end up in Tigertown? Who knows at this point? I know this, when Clay Webb was being recruited by Clemson initially, he was at the all-in cookout when I think it was Vontae Bentley committed to Clemson. Both of those guys, Clay Webb, he's from Oxford, Alabama. Well, not Bentley, but both of those guys from Alabama. But Clay Webb's from Oxford, Alabama, and I don't think there's any question. You know, you look at the Tigers' issues up front, that there's a chance that a guy like Clay Webb, former five-star, could certainly help you out. And so, you know, I don't know, man. We just know that that's a need at this point for Clemson. You know that based off the weekend that was. And I can't help but imagine that a guy like Clay Webb wouldn't help in Tigertown, given how the offensive line right now looks for Clemson, just need numbers. And so we'll see what shakes out from that point. But my goodness, you know, if Clay Webb could get picked up, I mean, he's a guy that Georgia wanted to use at center. Man, and that, you know, what that could do for depth for Clemson, who knows? Anyway, thank you for hanging out with us. Look, we'll continue to keep our eyeballs on it. Again, the national champion Georgia Bulldogs facing the same issues that many others do of the transfer portal. It's not a great situation, in my opinion. It's just not a great situation for anybody involved. The Los Angeles Lakers fired Frank Vogel after a 33-49 season. So Vogel out in LA. And speaking of my Los Angeles Lakers, I've been watching the series on HBO, Winning Time. Good stuff. I'm telling you what, man, HBO, I know you got a lot of opportunities with Netflix and Apple Prime or Apple Music and or Apple TV and Prime Video and Hulu and, you know, whatever. HBO Max, pretty good little option, especially if you have AT&T, man. Check with your phone provider. I think my HBO Max is free, and I'm not paid to endorse them. I'm just telling you, it is one of those add-ons that feels like a good addition to the old cell phone bill, because there's a lot of really good movies and shows, but man, that Winning Time, the guy that plays Magic and the guy that plays Kareem, the Kareem guy sounds so much like Kareem. And then they also had this one cutscene at one point where they were, you remember the movie Airplane, and Kareem is in that as a pilot. And then they had that whole scene, but like recreated with the actor from Winning Time playing Kareem. And I'm telling you, man, I was just like, wow. The little nuances the nuances of the Lakers dynasty. Can't wait to see where that series goes. Again, thank you for hanging out with us. Don't forget about my buddy Rob Sanders from 3 until 4 o'clock. And you can also catch Teddy Hefner talking sports from 9 until noon right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 the Midlands, heard around the world on the iHeartRadio app. I got to get out of here. Thank you again for being a part of the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, programming note, we're off Thursday and Friday this week. So we will not be with you on Thursday and Friday. But we'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And until then, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!